to have you here. And stick around if you can after services. We have a chance to get to know you and talk to you a little bit more. If there's any way we can serve you, anything you need, that's what we're here for, is God's family, to help and to serve one another. I want to thank Brother Clinton Shrewsbury for filling in last week while we were out of town. I know he did a great job, and we always appreciate his willingness to do that. And congratulations to Susie and Michael. We're very, very happy for you guys. I wasn't here last week, but congratulations. So a couple of weeks ago, we started a sermon series on wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And we asked ourselves the question, are you wise? Are you wiser today than you were yesterday? Are you wiser today than you were a year ago or 10 years ago? And we asked the question, what is wisdom? What does God's word say about wisdom? Because we know being wise in the ways of God can help us live lives that are more peaceful, lives that are more fulfilling. Most importantly, we know that being wise can help us live lives that are more pleasing to God. Today we're going to talk about the tongue. Now the tongue is a very important part of our bodies. And the tongue is a very important part of our culture. We hear all kinds of phrases about the tongue. When something's hard to say, we say it's a what? Tongue twister, right? When someone doesn't know what to say, we ask them if the cat has their tongue. We ask people all the time, are you tongue-tied? We say things tongue-in-cheek. I never really understood that phrase because where else would our tongues be? But we say that, right? I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek. We tell people to quit sticking their tongues out. Do you know, though, that your tongue, like your heart, is almost all muscle? But our hearts, we really don't control what they do. They beat and they do their thing kind of independent of what we think. We don't have much control over our hearts. But we do have a lot of control over our tongues. And I'm a guy who likes proof. So we're going to do an experiment this morning. Do you guys like experiments? Do you believe you can control your tongue? I want everybody here to stick your tongue out. We can do that, right? Put your tongue up to the roof of your mouth. Pretty easy, right? Put your tongue at the bottom of your teeth. Put your tongue to your left cheek, to your right cheek. We can control our tongues, right? You guys look great doing this, by the way. I love this. I'm told that only a small percentage of our population can actually roll their tongue. Can y'all roll your tongue? If you can, let me say it. I can do it. I'm one of the blessed that can do that, right? We can roll our tongues. The tongue's versatile. The tongue is a very intriguing muscle. And it's virtually impossible for us to be able to eat without using our tongues. The tongue's purpose, one of the purposes, is to move our food around so that it can go down our throats. And without your tongue, you'd have a hard time of surviving. Your taste buds are located on your tongue. Who likes to eat? Right? Some of us are being truthful. We all love to eat. We love to eat. We love to taste things. Would you spend time cooking a good meal if you couldn't taste it? Would you go to a restaurant and pay big money for a meal if you couldn't taste it? No, we hate when we get colds and sinus infections because we can't taste anything. The tongue's important. One of the primary purposes, though, for our tongues is for us to be able to speak. Without your tongue, you couldn't speak. You couldn't sing the beautiful songs we sang today. You couldn't even whistle. Y'all like to whistle? I like to whistle. The tongue is important to us. But any dentist will tell you it's very important for you to brush your tongue, because a dentist will tell you the tongue is one of the dirtiest parts of your body. And God's word agrees with that. We read in James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. James says our tongue is a world of evil, that it sets us on fire because itself is set on fire by hell. He says all kinds of animals, y'all can tame those, but you can't tame the tongue. It is restless, it is evil, and it's not just full of poison, but it's full of what? Deadly poison. That's scary stuff, isn't it? James paints a picture that shows the tongue as one of the dirtiest or foulest parts of our bodies. And Jesus says pretty much the same thing in Matthew 15, 18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. What Jesus is saying here is that our tongues are a barometer, not a thermometer, Brian, but a barometer of what is inside of our hearts. If it comes off our tongues, it must be where? In our hearts. And we all struggle with this because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? And because of that, our tongues have a lot of bad stuff to work with. Have you ever eaten something, and this is gross, but have you ever eaten something and then a few hours later you taste it again? Maybe it comes up kind of through your nose. That's gross, isn't it? But it happens. And you think to yourself, man, I wished I hadn't had that third bowl of chili. Or man, I shouldn't have had those banana peppers on my pizza. It's disgusting. That's what Jesus is describing here. We ate something foul, something sinful, and that stuff comes back up out of our hearts, and it leaves a bad taste in our mouth because it's bad. But it also leaves a bad taste in God's mouth too. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians here isn't talking about cursing, although cursing is unwholesome talk. What it's talking about here, Paul says, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouths, only that which is helpful to build others up according to their needs. What is important to benefit those who are listening to you. Our job as Christians is to show kindness and compassion with our tongues, with our words. But too often, even as churchgoers, we don't do that. Many times it's more about what I need to get off of my chest than it is about building up the person to whom I'm speaking. You know, Austin's taking this English class, and there was an article he had to read that I read as well, and it talks about communications today versus years ago. And the article makes the point that years ago, if I wanted to tell Rob something, I'd have to get out a piece of paper and a pen. Y'all remember those? I'd have to actually write down my thoughts, what I wanted him to know. And then I'd have to put that piece of paper into an envelope, and I'd have to get a stamp, and I'd have to walk it to the mailbox and put it in there for the mail carrier to come get. That sure seems like a lot of trouble, doesn't it? Before I would do that, I would make sure this is something that I really needed to tell Rob, because if it's something that's unimportant or something that maybe isn't beneficial, then I probably wouldn't take those steps. But today, in a second, I can get on my phone and ruin my reputation and someone else's too. Why do we do that? Ephesians 4:31 tells us. Because as people, we can harbor bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. There are folks out there that allow these things to pile up because they don't deal with it. Sometimes maybe we're not quick to forgive others and it piles up. We don't give things over to God to let Him heal. And they just keep piling up on a daily basis. And ultimately that stuff has to come out. It's kind of like having a bunch of oily rags in the crawl space, and then they spontaneously combust, and what happens? The house burns down. That can happen in our lives as well. When we allow these things that Ephesians 4:31 talks about, when we allow those things to build up. And then sometimes we erupt in a fiery rage at people that we're not even mad at, but they just happen to be there, and they get the tongue lashing. Am I the only one that does this, or am I alone here? It happens, right? We've been on both ends of that. Paul says, don't do that. Don't fall into that trap, because when we do, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Proverbs talks about the negative use of our tongues, and it condemns the evil ways that we might speak to others. We read in Proverbs 15:1, a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword. And Proverbs 26:28 tells us a lying tongue hates those it hurts. But what I love about Proverbs 15, and what I love about God's Word, is He doesn't just emphasize the negative. God doesn't just tell us things not to do, but Proverbs 15 tells us the positive uses for our tongue, how we can use our tongue to do far more good than evil. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. Verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. We're told in verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. In verse 8, the prayer of the upright pleases God. These are all good things. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. This isn't going to be a sermon on not gossiping. We know not to gossip. This isn't going to be a sermon about what not to do. But our focus this morning, what does Proverbs tell us to do with our tongues? A lot of people live their lives by the motto that we all learned in Bambi from the little rabbit named Thumper. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all is how Thumper says it, but Sandy, you got it grammatically correct. Yeah. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Another wise quote I read said, it is better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Wish I listened to that one a little more. When we follow that advice, though, we avoid the disease that I call foot and mouth disease. Has anybody ever suffered from foot and mouth disease? It happens. It happens. And the idea is, if I just keep my mouth shut, then I can't put my foot in there. And that sounds reasonable. But Proverbs 15 isn't telling us to keep our mouths shut. It's telling us to use our tongues to do good things. And you can't use your tongue to speak good things if you're keeping your mouth closed. Unless you're a ventriloquist, you just can't do that. And I'm not aware of anyone in here with that skill, so I'll move on, right? No ventriloquists in here. So if we're going to heed the advice of Proverbs 15, we have to open our mouths and use our tongues to do good things. What are those good things? First, we read that we're to spread knowledge. Proverbs 15:2 in the New Revised Standard Version says, the tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. So Proverbs says we should spread a special kind of knowledge. Whose knowledge should we spread? God's knowledge, that's right. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. In Psalm 119:98, David praises God for the knowledge he received, and he says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. In James 1:5, a very familiar verse that talks about wisdom says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives how? Generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Church, the best knowledge is always going to come from God. The best knowledge is always going to be God's knowledge. He gives us knowledge that gives us wisdom. And His knowledge will make us wiser than our enemies. And His wisdom, James tells us, is freely given to all who ask for it. The question this morning, am I asking? Are you asking? Where do we go to find this knowledge? Well, of course, as believers, we have God's Spirit dwelling in us that will give us that knowledge. We have each other as brothers and sisters to share our experiences and to be there with one another, and we get knowledge that way. And knowledge, of course, comes from God's Word. Now, here's the deal. When I rely on God's Word for knowledge, I'll never be ashamed. When we rely on God's Word for our knowledge, we'll never be ashamed. God promises us something very special here. I want you to get this morning. I got to get this myself. Something very important he promises us in Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they've watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When we quote God's word, when we use his knowledge, it has the power to change people around us. Do you believe that? It has the power to change those around us because God's word will accomplish what he purposes it to accomplish. It's not about me or how good or bad I am. It's not about you and how well you are at doing this. It is about God and his word. That's why a godly tongue will spread knowledge. And a godly tongue will also bring healing. Proverbs 15:4 tells us, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. What's that mean? Well, it means that when we use our tongues the way God wants us to, it can actually bring healing. A gentle tongue is the tree of life or the tree of healing. But heal them of what? Well, you remember what Ephesians said, grieve the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians 4:31, bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with malice. That's the disease. But your tongue can be the cure to that disease in someone else's life. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What does a peacemaker do? It's not a trick question. Makes peace, exactly. A peacemaker makes peace. Now, how do they do that? Well, many people believe that if I just stand over here and have a peaceful look on my face and keep my mouth shut and I look like I'm at peace, then I must be a peacemaker. Is that a peacemaker? No. That's a wallflower, right? That person isn't making peace. That person is just taking up space. But real peacemakers deal with real people. People who are consumed with bitterness, people who are filled with rage and anger, people who are prone to brawling and slander. And how do they do that? Well, there's many ways. But Proverbs 15:1 tells us a gentle answer turns away wrath. So I'm going to pick on Johnny here this morning. Now, Johnny, let's pretend you are real mad. You never get real mad, do you? No, that never happens to Johnny. I'm sure it doesn't. That's why I picked him here. But let's pretend Johnny is really mad. And he's so mad, because I'm picking him for this example. He wishes he'd have sat in the back or gone to the restroom. But he's so mad that he starts raising his voice because he just can't contain how mad he is. What can I do as a peacemaker? I can bring it down a notch or two and say, Johnny, buddy, I know you're mad, but I can soften the tone of my voice and bring it down. And when a person who's mad is confronted like that, with a gentle tongue, what are they likely to do? They'll come calm down a notch or two as well. And you'd do that, right, Johnny? Exactly. Right. I knew he'd go along with it. Proverbs 15:1 tells us a gentle answer turns away wrath. And there's another way that a peacemaker can work in a situation like this. You see, peacemakers don't just focus on being right. They focus on making peace. And even if I'm talking to someone who's angry for the wrong reason, I'm not going to make peace right then by explaining to them why they're wrong, right? We just need to sometimes say things like, I know you're upset. I know you're angry. I know that this hurts. And those words can help bring it down a notch or two by being gentle, giving gentle answers, loving answers. It's a powerful thing, church. Sometimes we talk about being gentle or having gentle tongues and we think maybe that's weak or somehow less than someone who's fiery and mad and screaming. But Proverbs 25:15 tells us a gentle tongue can break a bone, that's true power, church. And that is how much force a soft voice can have for a person who's suffering with anger and rage and malice. So we can use the tongue for good things, to do the things God wants us to do by spreading His knowledge, by healing others who are suffering with our words. And thirdly, this morning, we want to use our tongues to bring glory to God. Proverbs 15:8 tells us, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is in His delight." A godly person who uses their tongue to do the things God wants them to do can accomplish the most important task a human can accomplish, and that is to talk to and praise your Heavenly Father. When we do that for ourselves, and when we do that on behalf of others, then we lay hold of God's power and His assistance in their lives. And you know what? If you and I don't pray, then nothing else in this life really matters. We're not going to receive anything significant in this life if we're not praying to God. Now, we can still do great things. We may plow the fields perfectly. We may have a bang-up crop every year. We may build great buildings or great companies or have all kinds of money in the bank account. But without God, it's all for nothing. Psalm 127:1 reminds us, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain." Exactly. We want to be dedicated to praying to God, praising God, even when times are tough, especially when times are tough. Speaking to Him, meditating on His Word, knowing that when we speak to Him, when we pray to Him, that pleases Him. He hears us, and He acts on our prayers. So, moment of truth. How are you doing today in using your tongue? If I'm being honest with you, some days I do okay. Some days I'm pretty lousy. Let's resolve this week, our challenge this week. Let's use our tongues to do good. Let's use our tongues to spread God's knowledge. Let's use our tongues to heal others when we see them suffering. Let's use our tongues to praise our Father and pray to Him. You know, Satan tempts us so much to use our tongues to lash out, to set the record straight, to tell it like it is. We see a lot of that today. God's Word doesn't say that. God's Word says, use my tongue to give honor and glory to me. Praise me. Use your tongue to heal others. Use your tongue to do good. And you know what? We don't have to do any of this on our own, but we have God's Spirit dwelling in us that will lead us, that will direct us, that will give us those words when we don't have the right words. You ever been in a situation when you don't have the right words? I've been there a lot. That's when the foot and mouth disease usually comes on, right? God's Spirit will direct us. I firmly believe that. Are we praying for that? Are we looking for that? Pray for God's help. Let's pray for each other. Let us be out there this week using our tongues for good, using our tongues wisely, as the book of Proverbs tells us. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I just want you to think for a moment about your life. Think about where you are. Think about where you will be for eternity. You know, when we ask those questions, a lot of times there's some confusion or some uncertainty and some anxiety when we think about the answers. But you know what? You can leave here today completely sure of where you will be for eternity. You can come to Jesus. You can come and confess Him as your Lord and Savior and repent of your sins and be baptized where your sins are washed away, where you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, where you come up out of that water, the old person gone and the new person resurrected, a person with God's Spirit, and a person that has a home forever as long as you remain faithful. If there's anyone here this morning who hasn't taken that step, we want to give you this opportunity. If you leave here today and it's still on your heart, call somebody. This isn't the only time to do this. We're here anytime. God is always ready to receive you. If you're here today and you are a Christian, but you've struggled and you want the prayers of the church with anything you're facing, that's why we're here. We're not here just to have church. We're here to help each other and to encourage each other, because this life is tough and God has given us a tremendous benefit in each other. If you're here this morning and something good has happened, we want to hear about that too. So if anyone here has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.